Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
All right. Thanks for being here. Just a couple things before we get going. For those of you who were not with us last week at our annual G3 gathering, we bring in our partnering churches and our friendship churches and people from the valley and different things to join in this time. And some of you don't know, but we have planted, obviously, hopefully if you've been with us, you know about Glenwood, Tim Marina and their team down there, Crossroads Glenwood. And also this last year, we planted in Houston, Texas with Brent Phillips, who was on staff here with a whole incredible leadership team down there. It's called Sandbox Church, coolest name of a church ever. And folks, you all hosted 50 of them here for G3 in your homes. Incredible. And I just want to start by, they sent us a letter, and this is just kind of cool. This is the way it used to be, was letters would come from church to church. And I just want to encourage you. This is to you, and this is to commend you, Crossroads family. Excuse Brent's, humor in here, which you just never know, right? Oh, this is awesome. To my church, Crossroads, and if you could give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you surely will be rewarded. Matthew 10:42. Obviously, every trip there are unknowns, but I want to thank you for most what the knowns. I knew the love and kindness that Sandbox was going to experience, and you took it over the top. Bringing Sandbox to Crossroads was like bringing home your friends to meet mom and dad. Folks, that's incredible. Over the years, there's been hundreds of stories about you. Pastor Dan and Derek and the elders and Billy Lynn, the worshiping deputy police chief. Chris Henderson, the world's greatest children's pastor. Mike Tabler and his biceps. And he lists a whole bunch of, and Steve, the pastor, you know, only Brent can do. Sure, some people were excited to see snow for the first time, but what was unanimously evident was the excitement and passion among Sandbox to meet you. You'd become that church. The Van Wright home was filled with conversation about how amazingly God had used you. As powerfully as God moved in our sessions, it was equally by his love shown through your host, through each of you that hosted them. Some of our church had never experienced love like that by someone they didn't know just moments before. Way to go, church. When Bex, our worshiping blonde, stood up and opened up with tears in her eyes of love and excitement for everyone there, I think that summed up the entire heart for the weekend, and it was the heart of God. God's gifts were poured out in a way that I have never seen on that scale in my life among people that I personally know, and I believe it was because of that love. This is the beginning. Thank you for all the hard work. Thank you for taking a risk, and thank you for not holding back. You treated strangers like they were celebrities, and in doing so, you did it unto God. I am so proud to be part of this church and to be led by these elders, by this leadership team. Brendan, Sandbox Church, way to go, Crossroads, way to go. You are commended for your hospitality and for coming ready to receive and to be the body of Christ, the family of God. That's what it is all about, and it is true. This is just the beginning of what God is doing, and I'm so excited to see the conversations that are taking place. I think people are coming into somewhat of a renewal of understanding what church is supposed to be all about. And it is a blazing, joyful force that moves out. And it is not just those on stage that lead the way. It is each and every person, as we saw it being poured out. For me, Brent and I talked, and we've been in some pretty, had the privilege to be around the world and see some amazing things happen and see God's people worshiping in ways, miracle, all kinds of things. But both of us have never seen that intensity happen healing miracles, of people getting words, people coming into spiritual gifts and sitting back and not just watching just those, you know, who are in the front do it, but the entire body getting involved loving on each other, getting up, praying for each other, serving each other. That is what church is supposed to be all about. Amazing. Way to go. So what happened? What happened last weekend? What happened? Faith filled the room, folks. Faith filled the room. And when faith fills the room, God is pleased and he pours out blessings from above. When faith fills the room, God is pleased. Oh, and he pours out, he longs to pour out blessing upon blessing upon his children. This last week has given me a chance to really have some great conversation with people, hear the testimonies, hear the struggles. Those who just struggle with things, struggle with, wow, what is faith? What is this? How, is this something that I just possess, that I do something with? And I just want to talk to you this morning just about that, is what is faith? If we say that faith filled the room, well, what is it that filled the room? What is it that changed? What in people's hearts? What was going on? And folks, I believe there's so much confusion. I think the church has done a terrible job about equipping the body with understanding this incredible dynamic. First Peter says it is the most precious thing you have is faith, more precious than gold. Watch over your heart and your soul and what is going on inside there. And so I want to take us to a couple verses. I want to talk about what faith is, and I want to talk about the result of faith. What are the results of faith? What happens when faith fills the room? And if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. And I just want to read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 6. Hebrews is on the screen as well. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Listen, church. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. Is there room in there for doubt? I'll come back to that. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. You know what that says? They were honored by God. They pleased God. They got God's attention. As we're going to see, it's impossible to get his attention in your life without faith. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things that are visible. Verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards, blesses those who seek him. Those who seek him. Boy, the assurance of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. Faith. What is it? So if you just go to the next slide here, I just want to run through some things because there's so much confusion around this issue. And what is my faith? How do I activate it? What is it? Let me just, before I get into these things on the screen, let me just tag back to this idea of doubt. We have, unfortunately, in our culture today, have grown as a culture of doubt, right? Cynicism, atheism, agnosticism have grown. We are a humanistic society. Boy, our culture we live in here, this Aspen is based upon mind, body, spirit, the humanistic soul, what man can do alone. And the idea is that I'm not going to believe something I can't explain. That's at the soul of humanism. That's at the core of our modern mind today. And it has crept into the church. It has crept in to even believers' thinking on this. Is that I'm not going to believe, I can't believe anything that I don't understand. Folks, that's a cynicism that will keep us from faith. That is not faith. Do you believe in love? Can you explain love? If you can, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. It's an arrogant thing for me to say that I'm not going to believe something I can't understand. The analogy would be this. A parent and a child. What if a child told their parents, hey, mom and dad, you know what? I'll obey you, but first you have to show me why I should. Is that obedience? No, that's agreement. That's still rebellion. In other words, we don't explain. There's so many things out there that we just don't understand, folks. And we're not going to understand. But here's the important thing. Faith is a gift. You know, you can't do it. You know, I cannot muster up the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I can't muster up on my own the idea of, oh, I'm going to just have faith. I'm just going to have faith. That's impossible to do. It's a gift from God. It's a big time gift, right? And God gives that as a special gift. Ephesians 2:8, I just encourage you to read that in verses 8 and 9. And it says that we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace. It's not our own works. It's nothing we can do. It's a gift from God. A free gift from God. And it's so that no one can boast. It's not in response to my works. In other words, that verse just sums up the gospel and the whole idea of faith. I can't muster up enough faith to enough works, right, to please God or to move things. It's a gift from God. Every bit of salvation, it begins with faith. It's being overwhelmed by this is something God instills in our soul, the ability to believe Him and to have the assurance and the conviction receiving that. It says that we're saved by grace through faith. So God instills that faith so that we can have our eyes open and our heart open to Him. And the next one is trust. Is that faith is not just believing certain things and doctrines. It is also personal trust. It is at the heart of hearts believing that God is who He says He is, that He sent Jesus for us, and that He raised Jesus on the third day. It is trusting in God. It's a relational component to it, just like a child, right, that follows a parent. That child doesn't understand everything going on in life, but that child trusts that parent, right, to hold their hand, right? It's a personal level of faith. And that is what God does. He instills that in us. So you're sitting here going, well, if it's a gift, how do I get it? And I hope you're asking that question. And folks, all through the Bible, okay, repeated over and over again, God says this. It's a promise. Seek me and you will find me. Seek me and I'll reveal myself to you. Seek me and I will instill faith in your soul. I will come and bring salvation and bring renewal and bring your heart alive and give you that assurance and give you that conviction. And once that deposit of faith by the Holy Spirit is set in our soul, now we are to be stewards of that faith. We're to grow that faith, not alone, I can't, but in this trust, in this walking relationship with God. That faith is not to be something, just a belief. Oh, I believe that. It is to be an ongoing trusting in God for everything in our lives. And to grow that faith according to what God's Word says. And to have God. And you see over and over in the Scripture, Jesus continued to tell the people, especially His disciples, where's your faith? And we see the cry out, Lord, increase my faith. These should be regular prayers of us. Our faith should be growing as God moves and expands these things right inside our soul. So it's a personal trust. Second thing, faith, as we see back here in Hebrews 11:6, is that it is to have expectation. It births in us. It is not just a woe's me. When faith is active, when faith is on fire in a person's heart, in a believer's heart, it ignites expectation. That's the very idea of faith. In other words, we look at all the chaos in the world and darkness around us. Faith changes the atmosphere of the situation because it brings and harnesses all the promises of God into this situation, and it comes in with great expectation. Why the things happened, the outpouring last weekend happened because faith was in the room. There was a unity that took place, and there was an expectation that God was going to do something. Right? Now, in this definition, and the last one is just a willingness to, willingness to receive and then a willingness to give and serve and minister. Those two go together. But faith, if I'm going to grow my faith, I have to always realize it's a gift. God, thank you for this. Now increase it. Right? Increase it according to your words. I want to live out faithfully what your promises are in the Word of God. I am called to get around others and to fan into flame and to build that faith up. And that is what gathering together is all about. That's what all the things we do in getting in the Word, encouraging each other, praying for each other, we're to build each other up in this whole process. The number one thing you can do to increase the blessings of God when God's people gather is change your perspective when you come to church. For me to change my perspective. And folks, what I'm here to tell you is the vast majority of Christians in America, they do not come to church on a Sunday morning with that kind of faith. There isn't this great expectation. God, you're going to meet us. And there isn't the expectation that God is going to bring a unity and he's going to build up the body with gifts and other things. In the midst of all that, where is that expectation? That is faith. If faith is active, it has great expectation. And if I'm growing my faith, right, past just my intellectual assent to the doctrine, then it must come with this great sense of, God, you're going to do something. And it might just be, God, I need you to receive from you, right? And it comes with this idea of receiving open arms, not a closing off my heart, but a coming in and saying, God, speak to me. And a willingness to come and to serve others, for the Spirit of God to give you gifts so that you might build up others as we gather together. That's what faith is. And folks, I think I just want to drive home on this issue of understanding this critical difference between doubting and just questioning God. There is no room in Scripture for doubt. Faith has no room whatsoever. Go to James chapter 1 where it says, ask to God. And he says, but ask without doubt, or you're a double-minded person and you will receive nothing from God. It's a powerful passage, James chapter 1. Right? Because we always say, but man, wait a minute, I'm doubting. Folks, understand there's a big difference between doubting and questioning God. All through the Scripture, we're called to question God when things don't make sense. When there's trauma and darkness and troubles and everything else, in our lives, things don't make sense. And we're to cry out to God, God, what is going on here? That's questioning God. That's normative. God invites that, just like a child. God, what is happening here? What is going on? That's questioning God. But that's with faith. It needs to be, God, show me what's going on. Increase my faith. But there's a line there. If I hang out there, that questioning goes on, and I don't move towards faith and the Word and getting built up, it can move into doubt. And where you know you're doubting is, the enemy wants to get us to a place where we're doubting God's goodness. And it comes in many different forms, but doubt is doubting whether God sees you, whether he has something good for you, whether he will answer prayers or not. You see, I'm doubting, and that kills and destroys faith. Because I'm doubting, now I've breached trust. And that would be the easiest, I think there's many things here to say I don't have time to get into, but if you're questioning in your heart, wow, am I doubting or am I just questioning? Because doubt will kill faith. Doubt will, as it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Right? I know I'm doubting when I've stopped trusting God. When I personally in my heart have stopped leaning into him as a child of God and embracing him and having assurance that he's got all this in his hands. And only we in the depth of our heart know where that line comes, where I've stopped really trusting God, right, in my heart of hearts and moving into a place of doubt. Doubt will move us into bondage, and it will kill our faith, and we will move into be the most depressed Christian on the face of the earth. And let me tell you, our society does not need to see that. We need to see Christians with active faith, expectation, even in the darkest moments, is that we have the assurance of things not thing, the foundation of our God and expectation that God's going to break in and break through at some point. And so does that make sense, gang? That's a very important thing, is to understand in your heart of hearts when you're dealing. And folks, let me just say, so many people, why are people in bondage? Why do people continue to be in addiction and depression and just go down the list of things? Is all of that ties down to a lie at some point was bought. At some point, there was a move from questioning God to actually doubting God and dropping trust in Him to do according to His word. Healing comes when I come to a place of repentance and come to that place of addressing that point of doubt in my life and bringing it before God and trusting Him again. It's like the prodigal coming home, right? I'm trusting You, Father. I'm not going to take this into my own hands any longer, okay? So that's what faith is. Next thing, hey, what are the results of faith? And faith fills the room, as we said. God is pleased, as we just read here, right? It's impossible to please without faith. Passage after passage says He's looking around the entire world. He's looking for, where is faith? Where is my people who are hungry for Me, who expect Me, and who stand upon My word, and who even in the midst of terrible things are standing on My promises that I can come to them and open heaven and pour out blessing upon them. That's God's heart. That's what he's looking for. Is where is that? That's how we get God's attention. Faith. Remember, it's a gift, but we're responsible to steward that and to grow that faith. It can't stay stagnant, as Brian just encouraged you. Is somebody in here? I'll tell you, one of the things that so encouraged me, multiple things, you don't even have time to go. I'm still getting testimonies from last weekend. But one of the things that so encouraged me was to hear the number of testimonies of people who had never prayed out loud. And it busted loose. They made a step forward in faith, and God met them in that place and unleashed it. And so I ask you, has your faith grown? Can you see your life and seen where you've stepped forward in faith? It is growing. You're embracing and trusting God more, and you're living and experiencing more and more of God's promises in His word. It takes stepping out. It's the only way to grow faith. It takes going through a desert and having our faith tested in those moments to see, am I going to trust Him? It's the whole story of Job, right? Is this battle of, is in the midst of really tough times, are you going to keep your faith? Or are you going to move into doubt, right? Faith. When it fills the room, unity happens. Jesus in John 17, man, God, His heart was that we would be one because He is one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect unity. He desires the church, the body of Christ around the world, is to be the greatest expression of unity, of upholding the blessing of the individual, how important the individual is, but also how important the whole is. And I've said this before, but folks, just look at what blow this thing up. Right now, we have been so consumed with diversity in our country, we've lost any bit of unity. I just want you to think about it. There is zero unity right now. We are fragmenting, and this goes for anything. You put a system that only focuses on diversity and you lose unity, game over. You flip the other side and you only focus on unity and the individual does not get valued. And you fall apart pretty soon. There's only one God. Three persons. Perfect diversity. Perfect unity. And the body of Christ is to model that for the world. Is that you, individually, you are beautifully, gloriously seen and important to God and His big scheme. And at the same time, all of us together, in unity of spirit and faith, are a force for God's greatness around the world. So when faith fills the room, unity happens. When faith fills the room, people are built up. When unity happens, when faith, when there is a core of faith coming in, Expectation. Everything we talked about. Rejoicing in this gift of God. Not a boasting in ourselves. And this is what worship is. You know, faith is active in worship when there is a shout of joy for God, because God, this faith, this boasting is in you, God. I'm worshiping, and in worship, that's what it is. We're boasting in God. This has nothing to do with me. God, you found me. You met me at my place of seeking, and I'm going to come and I'm going to give you praise and boast your name, Jesus, above all names. You know, faith is active when there is a shout of praise. People understand what worship is all about. It's not just singing songs, not just coming dead and just getting through some songs, getting a few notes. Let me tell you, that's not active faith. It's not just sitting in the seat when there's an opportunity to step forward and minister to someone that's outside your comfort zone. I will never move towards growing faith and moving into all the blessings of God unless I'm willing to get really uncomfortable and trusting God to meet me at my place of stepping out. Okay? And it's not just to happen in here, but if we can't do it in here in the family where we love each other and learn and build each other up, it's not going to happen out there. But you know, he wants to equip you here. So out there, when you see somebody's hurting, is that God's love will move in your heart and you will move towards that person and you'll pray for them. I heard amazing, I'm off topic here a little bit, but it was so awesome. I prayed with Jan this morning, the first service, and she told me about, where's our sheriffs and police department, but about a sheriff who lives in Eagle who showed up to have to give a summons to, I think, some of her husband's workers or whatever, but saw that Kelly had stage 4 cancer. The sheriff put everything down, put his hands on Kelly, prayed healing over him in his uniform, right, and gave him a card and left and said, "Brother, I believe God's going to heal you." I was like, wow, I got to meet that guy. That's my kind of sheriff. A new sheriff has come to town. That's the kind of sheriff we need in town, right? So folks, that's what it's all about. Is we build up each other here so you can go out there and you can bring the love of God, the power of God. But it will not happen unless faith fills this room. Unless we build each other up in the gifts and the love of God in this place first, right? When faith fills the room, heaven opens up. That's what God promises. He says, and when you come to him, Hebrews 11:6, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do you believe that God, when you seek him, he's going to bless you? And when we do it corporately, and God's we worship him in a sense of unity and bring expectation and faith, is he promises he'll be there and he will pour out blessings. And the factor here is their faith in the house to get the attention of God. When you read the scriptures, just to show how important this is, Jesus, he could not do miracles where there was not corporate faith. I shouldn't say he couldn't do them. He didn't do them. When he went to raise the dead and do some extreme miracles, he put out those who didn't have faith. This is why with the disciples, he said, guys, where's your faith? Your faith, trusting in God, opens heaven, pours it out. Pours it out. When faith fills the room, heaven opens up. Now you can go back. Not done yet. When faith fills the room, people are launched out. You know what happens? When God pours out his blessing, you know what he starts doing? He starts getting clearer about your purpose, about clarity about what he has for your life. He gives you clarity about where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do. He puts upon you this passion for the kingdom of God, a much bigger calling than just your vocation. It encompasses everything, your home, your work, your everything. And he starts getting people on fire for a greater purpose in life than just what we normally get consumed with. I'm already talking to 3 couples from last weekend who are ready to say, God, we'll go wherever, we'll do whatever you call us to do. Now, when that starts happening, things start getting really exciting. Just read the book of Acts. Okay, and folks, let me tell you, if a church, the health of a church is not how many people are sitting in the seats, the health of a church is how many are being sent out for the kingdom of God. Okay, and there is not a healthy church that is not multiplying itself, equipping its people and launching them out to do great things. Marketplace people with a big God, right? With a big God. Love that quote that says, you know, if God is small enough to be understood, he's not big enough to be worshipped. Right? if he's small enough that you can understand him intellectually, he's not big enough to worship. And to handle all the main problems in the universe that we can't, right? Awesome. Folks, Book of Acts. Here it is. The upper room. So this faith fills the room. You take into any environment. I ask you, what fills your home? What fills your home? What's the atmosphere of your home? Does faith fill your house? Right. What fills this home? What fills this home? Is faith filling the intellect? Is faith filling your heart and your soul? The book of Acts. It's amazing. Jesus, he died, he resurrected, he equipped everybody. He says, get 120. You wait here. It's 12 and the little church, the beginning of the church, the 120 in the upper room. Wait here. Wait here. Don't do anything. Wait on me for the promise of the Father, the filling of the Holy Spirit. They watched him ascend back to the right hand of the Father. And what happened in that upper room? You read the book of Acts. They were in one accord. Faith filled that room. They stood on the promises of God. There was expectation. Oh my gosh, God, come, come, come. They had to wait 10 days for it. But when it hit, folks, let me tell you, in Jerusalem, when the Spirit of God hit that place, gifts were poured out, power was poured out. That whole city of Jerusalem was set on fire. All the people for the day of Pentecost that were there worshiping, okay, heard the promises, the blessings of God in their own tongue. Revival blew up in that place. It went from 120, just a matter of days, to thousands and thousands, right, of people. They were meeting in Solomon's portico throughout the day and was all in unity in the large group. Then they break out into the home. And when faith filled the home and the big place, God launched it out. It wasn't too long after that that Philip and Stephen were sent out, launched out of there for the kingdom of God. It wasn't too long after that that Paul was sent out with the gospel to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world, accomplishing Acts 1:8. Is that this gospel, this thing, this fire of faith in the kingdom of God, when it gets a hold, it is going to be a blessing, right, in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, church. And every church should be modeling that if faith is alive. So not just in the large gathering, unity, everything, but in the home, in each and individual home. If you go to read Acts chapter 10, I love it. Marketplace guy, even more so, the Cornelius, the centurion. You have a Roman soldier. I don't have time to tell you how gory Roman soldiers were. Okay, just they were. Let's put it this way. Is what Roman soldiers were involved in was worse than ISIS. How they treat people, the authority they had over people. This Cornelius guy was a God-fearer. He was seeking God. He truly desired to know God. See, a lot of people say they want to know God. But really, you know what? They just want God in their own image. They want to pull a little of this and put a little of that and make a nice, mushy God that just seems good to them. We'll never find God that way. That's not a true seeking of truth and who God is. But Cornelius was a God-fearer. He gave to the poor. He knew that there was a God out there. And he had incredible respect among even the Jewish people, which is staggering, folks, if you realize how the Roman soldiers treated the Jewish people. Okay? And he was praying. He was faithful in seeking God. Here's the truth of what God says all through Scripture. If you really want to know him and you seek him, oh, he will find you. And he will fill you up, right? And so he got a dream, and he calls for Peter over here in Joppa. And by the way, folks, around the world today, the number one way that Muslims are seeing Jesus is through dreams, because they're sick and tired of this ugly Allah guy that has no personal, has done nothing for them, right? And Jesus is revealing himself. And then through that, God is moving people with big heart, kingdom hearts all around to bring the love of Jesus to them, just like this story. Peter was moved from Joppa. He went and said, and into Cornelius in Caesarea, and Cornelius, get this, a Roman soldier prepared his household, all of his family, all of his servants, all of his relatives, in one accord. God is going to meet us in this place. Peter shows up. Peter is not even a quarter of the way through his message, his sermon, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes down on that house, on a Roman centurion's household. The entire household is hit with the Spirit of God, is saved. God moves into their hearts, pours out spiritual gifts on them, to the point where Peter's like, whoa. And they baptize the entire household. What fills your house? What fills your house? When was the last time that we called our relatives and friends together God. God wants to do something here. When we call people over for dinner parties and other things, do we have an expectation that we want people to experience a faith-filled house? And now let's bring it to the larger gathering. Man, when we show up in this place, what is our expectation? God, man, He wants to pour out His blessing. Does faith fill this house? It did last weekend. The evidence, the testimony is there. The unity, the hospitality, you just go down the list of the church being the church. And so I commend to you faith. What fills your heart? And are you willing to come with expectation, root out doubt, and see God do something great in this place, in your heart, in your home, in the church home, for the glory of God? He's just looking. He wants to pour out His pleasure, right, among His people. And I just really believed as I was preparing for this message that God really wanted to knock doubt right out of some people's souls. And that what we've done is we've coddled doubt in our soul, thinking that, wow, that this is intellectually honest or something like that. Doubt kills faith. Right? Again, as I said, it's one thing to question God honestly as a child. But doubt is when we stop trusting God and the enemy gets in and he puts a person, just locks them down in their spiritual growth. And opens our lives to a whole host of other afflictions and bondage in our life. And so I just, with all my heart, with all my soul, I don't have time to tell you about my journey of just letting God just kind of break me in certain areas and really reveal where there was doubt. Oh, and it's even worse, you know, the Pharisee, right, is the one, the self-righteous is the one who knows the Word of God. And presents it strong, here it is, but inside there is no real honest faith. And sooner or later that crumbles. So I just ask, if you're here, to ask God to come and reveal to you. Are you holding on to some doubt? Are you questioning God? Lacking a sense of trusting Him as your Heavenly Father? Invite Him to fill your house this morning. Because where faith fills the room, God is pleased. And He pours out. Oh, He pours out. And I got that taste last weekend. And those of us that were a part of that, I want more of that. I don't want that to be just when we gather together on an occasional basis. I want that to be what happens every Sunday when Crossroads Church gathers together, is that there is faith in this house. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, we love You, God. And Lord, I'm just... Lord, I'm overwhelmed, Lord, that You, the gift of faith, God, salvation, that You, Lord, in Your mercy and grace, poured Your Spirit in my soul, God. Nothing I did, no spiritual works, no goodness on my own, simply because You heard my cry, I want to know You. Lord, if there's anybody here, God, doesn't know You, who's been seeking You, pour out the Spirit in their heart this morning, God. Lord, increase our faith, Lord. Oh, let's take steps. Let it be normative in our life to take steps of faith, to exercise our faith, God. Lord, for Your glory. Holy Spirit, I pray You'd move. Root out doubt. Root it out, Lord. Root it out, God. Bring Your freedom and Your love. Boy, I think of 1 Peter 1:8. Though we don't see You, we love You. Though we don't see You now, we believe in You, Jesus, and we love You, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, the evidence, God, of that faith in our heart. Joy abounding, assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Lord, increase faith in this place, oh, for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.